Now, the worship service of Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in Avon, New York. Pastor Keith Griswold. Welcome to worship with the Avon United Methodist Church.
Good morning. Welcome to worship today. Glad to have you with us. And we're going to welcome those who join us online and those who are on the radio. I would ask all of you to please have an attitude of prayer as we enter into a time of worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you.
You who fear the Lord, praise him.
From God comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly.
The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him.
All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord.
Our hymn is Shout to the Lord.
Chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kanadake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture, and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared as Zotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
This morning's anthem is, I think, a favorite of many people, His Eye is on the Sparrow, a familiar song for you. And we have the pleasure of having Heather Arnold sing the solo part for us.
Discouraged. Why should the shadows fall? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home?
past few weeks, you've probably noticed that the lectionary readings that we've been preaching on have focused on the message that the New Testament church shared as it was growing and spreading. And it reflected the transformation that they were experiencing, going from being scared and locked away in a room to standing up in public and proclaiming the good news about Jesus, that in his death and in his resurrection, we find salvation, the spiritual healing that all people need and want. One thing we need to realize is that talking about Jesus is something not just for preachers and Sunday school teachers. It is something that all of us as followers of Jesus are to do. And you know what? It may surprise you, but people actually expect us to do that, even non-believers. Angel Eduardo is a writer, a photographer, and a graphic designer based out of New York City. And he is currently the senior writer and editor at FIRE, and that is the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression. Eduardo is also an atheist. A few years ago, he wrote an article entitled, "Why Keeping Your Beliefs to Yourself is Immoral." And in this article, he is actually addressing first and foremost other atheists, but he also addresses non-atheists, those of us who believe in God. And his argument in the article goes that while keeping your beliefs to yourself may help you avoid confrontation, in reality, it is harmful and immoral. And this is what he writes. Beliefs, insofar as they are genuinely believed, are the engines of our actions. They're foundational to how we think and behave. We've just considered this recently in the confirmation class, that if you say you are something, then your life should reflect what you say you are. Eduardo starts out in this article by addressing other atheists, and this is what he says to them. We rarely think about this from the perspective of the believer. For them, every encounter is of paramount importance. They are truly convinced that you are in danger and that they possess the keys to salvation. However misguided or wrong they may be, their actions are motivated by a desire to make our lives and our afterlives better. And to help his readers get an understanding of where this thought comes from, he gives this analogy. Suppose you're deadly allergic to strawberries, but no one has ever told you that it's an allergy. Instead, you think they have this effect on everyone. What would be your reaction if you suddenly saw someone about to drink a strawberry smoothie? If you're a normal, moral person, he says, you'd be falling over yourself trying to stop them. And then he drives his point home by saying this. Now imagine keeping quiet as you watch someone sip that smoothie, committing what you know in your bones was surely suicide. How would you feel in that moment? As he concludes his article, he brings up the issue of guilt for anyone who is unwilling to share their beliefs, either atheists or non-atheists. I would ask you to consider again what I started out by quoting here. Beliefs are the engines of our actions. They're foundational to how we think and behave. What we believe in the deepest part of our hearts and our minds is what is motivating our thoughts and our actions, or at least they should be. Consider the foundational truth of the Christian faith as we read it in John's Gospel. God so loved the world that God gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. If Jesus and the good news of God's love is what our life is built on, if that is what we believe at the deepest core of our life, then we should be willing to share that good news with others. And in the scripture reading today, we get some guidelines on how we should do that. How do we share the good news? And the first thing is, we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. In the previous chapter of Acts, right before the section that Bobby read, we're told that the disciples faced persecution in Jerusalem. Stephen, the first martyr, was stoned to death. Saul was standing there appreciatively and then was given permission to go and hunt down disciples of Jesus. They start to disperse into the surrounding areas outside of Jerusalem. Philip, at the leading of the angel, goes south of Jerusalem, heading towards Gaza. And somewhere on that road, Philip sees a chariot. And as we read, this is what happens. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot, heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. So here's what I would suggest the first thing we need to do if we want to start sharing the good news about Jesus. We need to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who is going to bring us to people who are ready to hear our story. In modern day phraseology, this Ethiopian would be called a seeker. He is interested in the spiritual side of life, and he is looking towards God. It says, Philip meets an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. So no, this guy is powerful. He's influential, and more than likely, he's wealthy. He has achieved material success in life. But despite his power and his prestige and his wealth, he still feels the need to explore the spiritual side of life. So he comes to Jerusalem to worship the Lord God. However, he's a eunuch, and the only thing he could ever be is what was called a God-fearer. That was a term that the Jews used for Gentiles who worshiped God but didn't or couldn't be circumcised and become Jewish. Because this man was a eunuch, he was precluded from becoming Jewish. As we're reading this, I also realized probably why he asked Philip, "Is there any reason why I can't be baptized?" He can't become Jewish because he's a eunuch. So he's wondering, do you guys have some qualifications that say I can't be baptized? You know, so maybe that's in the back of his mind and led to that question. So like I say, he would have been restricted in Jerusalem. He could have only stood in an outer court to worship and to pray, which he probably did. Now he's heading home, and he's reading the scroll of Isaiah. He's reading about God's suffering servant, and he questions Philip about it. This is what he was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shear is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice." At the right time, God brings Philip into this man's life to explain this passage. And with this scripture, he starts to expand on who Jesus is. Here again, we see that within months of Jesus' resurrection, the disciples start to see and to understand the Old Testament and what God had planned. What was revealed in it about the coming of the Messiah. And the Holy Spirit helps them to see this and to understand it, and then they start to share it with others. And you know, friends, there are people like this eunuch, this man who was seeking, still with us today. Survey conducted a couple of years ago by the Society of American Atheists. They asked over 30,000 people about their spiritual life. And out of this survey, it's estimated that there are probably 75 million non-religious people in the United States today. They are people who are not part of any organized religion, but they still consider themselves to be spiritual to one degree or another. And according to this survey, and I'm quoting here, more than half, 54.5%, had negative experiences with family members. One-third had negative experiences in education, and more than one in five, 21.7%, at the workplace. These are people who have been turned off or pushed away by family or friends over spiritual interests and issues. And so today they're classified as none. Again, I say deep in every person there is a desire to know God, to find God, and they seek God. So we need to be in tune with the Spirit who will lead us to those people. Consider what Philip does with this man. He asks him a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? And then he lets this man do the talking and he listens and he responds as needed. See, sharing our story about Jesus isn't to be a confrontation. It's to be a conversation. It's just two people talking, give and take. And when this man asks a very direct question about the passage, "Tell me, please, who's the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Philip was sensitive to the Spirit's leading, and the Spirit will do that with us, bring us into the path of people who are looking and ready to listen. And that leads to this other guideline for sharing our faith. We need to tell people about Jesus. You know, it goes back to that old Sunday school song, "Tell me the stories about Jesus." Who's our Savior? Jesus. Who is the hope in this life and for the life to come? Jesus. Who shows us God's love by dying to take away our sins? Jesus. Who is the one who comes and makes creation into existence? Jesus. Who is going to come again to take us to be with him? Jesus. It is Jesus who we are to talk about. Look at what we're told after this man asks his question. "Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." Jesus is the focus of our message, not social or political issue. That survey didn't get into the specifics about what drove people away and into a non-religious life, but over half said it was being rejected by their family for having a different point of view. People of faith who love Jesus and who follow him are going to have different views on social and political issues. And that goes from abortion to xenophobia. And when we make those issues the primary message that we proclaim instead of following Jesus, then we aren't doing what we're supposed to be doing. Our mission is to talk about Jesus and help people connect with him as their Savior. And that's what Philip does. And he does it in a compassionate way. The third guide for sharing our story flows out of that one. Give them a chance to respond. After Philip helps the Ethiopian to understand the verses from Isaiah, and he tells him how Jesus fits into them because of his death and his resurrection, I am sure he then told him about Jesus' command to the apostles to go and to teach and to baptize. Now this man's time for making a decision has come. Maybe they both just sat there silently as they rode along. And then he sees a river and he says, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?" Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So this is what I suggest we take away from that. We must respect the fact that the other person has to make their decision to follow Jesus or not. We can never force or manipulate people into acceptance. Telling someone our story of what Jesus has done and what Jesus means in our life is not a sales pitch. And trust me, I know what sales pitches are. Back in the 80s and the 90s, we would teach sales techniques. One of the techniques was to always get your prospect to say yes and keep them saying yes in the presentation. Finally, you get to the closing question, "Do you want to buy this product?" And hopefully they're so into saying yes, they're just going to say yes. And I'll tell you, as I was looking, I could not believe the things that were coming up in my search. I mean, I'm finding stuff that we were using 30 years ago in sales presentations being taught. How to pitch your product, and basically it's how to be manipulative. Even in the United States, Christians and churches followed similar ways of trying to sell Jesus. Some of you may even remember the four spiritual laws or the Roman road, both of which were pamphlets that were used to present the gospel. The pamphlets were definitely biblically based, but they were also somewhat manipulative. The person you were talking to was encouraged to ask questions. They were then led to a conclusion where you would ask them to say a two-sentence prayer. And after the two-sentence prayer, the presenter felt good because they just notched another soul for Jesus in their belt. The reality is people can see through manipulation. And if they don't want or need what you're selling, they're going to say no. Telling others is not supposed to be that way. We don't manipulate for an answer. We point them to Jesus. We tell them what he has done in our life. We tell them about his sacrificial love for them. And if they want to follow him, they can and they will when they are ready. When we talk with others about faith, it is to be about Jesus and what he has done for us. What we have experienced in walking with the risen Jesus. It's not churchianity. What we do and how to get involved in the most recent church meeting. We need to talk about the moment when we encountered the risen Jesus and we know because he lives in our heart. We share how the greatest story, Jesus' story, has changed our story. And we invite others to come along and find out for themselves. Amen. I'm going to ask if you would take your hymnal and we're going to sing, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nations." Take Jesus with you as he is in your heart. Take his love, his grace, his mercy, and share it with those who want to know him. Point them in his direction. Go now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to the 10 a.m. service from the Avon United Methodist Church, located at 130 Genesee Street in the village of Avon. We hope that you have experienced the love of Jesus Christ during your time with us. We invite you to join us on the air weekly at 7:30 a.m. Sundays or in person at 10 a.m. Please visit us on the web at avonnyumc.org or call us at 226-8600. May God richly bless you.